as we continue on the book of Exodus, and my goal tonight is to make it through chapter 6. Now, that sounds like a big goal for a Wednesday night, but a lot of this is going to be genealogy, so I'm thinking we can do it. We'll see how much I talk tonight, but we're going to be looking tonight at just the intimacy of our God and our personal and our intimate God. And so why don't we pray and just ask for God to really minister to hearts tonight. God has a message to speak to our hearts, and so let's pray for God to open us up to hear it. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. And Father, as we look at the life of Moses and we watch what you did in Moses, it plays out our life, every one of us in this room. We may not have been the next one in line to be the king of Egypt. And we may not have fled to the back of the desert for 40 years. And Lord, had this amazing experience at a burning bush with the voice of God speaking to us. But Lord, when we look at the life of Moses, everything that happened in Moses' life, the call you gave him and the way you worked in his life, it is a parallel, Lord, to what we go through as believers. And I thank you for giving us this picture. I thank you for giving us this model. And as we look at Moses tonight, God, my heart is that you'd minister to the flock. God, minister to those in here that are in the place where Moses was or where they will be or where they've been and can see where they're going based on your faithfulness and your word, Lord. He had the same passions and desires we have. He had the same questions. He had the same doubts. He had the same, all the same emotions, Lord. He was no different. And we see it so clearly in his life. And I just pray that as we look at it, God, you'd minister, build up your flock, Lord. Strengthen your saints tonight by your word. And we ask you to pour out your spirit, because it's only by your spirit, Lord, we're going to hear from your throne tonight. Oh, Lord, reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Aren't you glad God is an intimate God? How many of you guys came from a background where God was just the man upstairs or almighty or someone you knew was probably there, but you didn't really know much about? You know, we could all raise our hand to some of these at some point in our life because we didn't really know him intimately. But once you come to know the Lord in an intimate way, there's no turning back and there's nothing to take the place of it, is there? There's nothing. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord in that intimate way, you're missing out. You're missing out on the intimacy of the Lord in your life. And we're going to see that Moses had this. The children of Israel did not yet have this. Moses was sent to them to demonstrate it in front of them. One of the reasons God sent Moses to the children of Israel was not only to set them free and to deliver them from the bondage of Egypt and to paint the whole picture of salvation and all this going on there, but to live a life in front of them to where they would say, you know what, that guy's got something I don't have. I want that. Seeing that relationship. You ever seen people like that? You want the relationship they have with the Lord. There's an intimacy and there's a realness. You know, I grew up, again, the whole religious thing and not really knowing the Lord. And I remember when I came to know the Lord, it was so real. It's like, I know you. And he would, yes, and I know you. And there was this conversation that we would have in the spirit that was very intimate. It still happens now, but it was so new because it had never happened before. And I'll never forget how real it was. I remember one time praying with a group of people. And you know, when you know the Lord and you've got that personal, intimate relationship with him, as I know most of you guys in this room have, maybe all, when you have that kind of intimacy with the Lord, because it's not just God, it's not just religion, it's not just someone that's out there real far away. You've come to know him now and he's real in your life and you're trying to explain that to other people that just don't get it. They can see that in your life and they can hear it in your prayers. And I don't say this in any way other than I was just a baby Christian, just in love with the Lord. Just, I couldn't believe that I actually knew him and that he actually knew me and that we actually, you know, he would talk to me from his word and I would pray and he would answer and even little things. He would do all these things to always let me know he was there and loving me. And I remember praying with some people one time and just that sweetness of the Lord's presence. When I got done, one of them said to me, "You pray like you know him." And it was an unbeliever saying that. "You pray like you know him." And it took me by surprise because it's kind of like, doesn't everybody? And I was like, I do. And I used it as a chance to share. But I remembered at that moment, you know what? Before I came to know him, I didn't have that. I didn't understand that. There wasn't that connection. And even when I saw other people with it, I was like, what do they have? Guys, there's nothing special about anybody that has that. It's our God that's special. And it's the relationship. That's all it is. And tonight, as we look at this whole episode with Moses in chapter 6, it's about really focusing in on the intimacy of God, because God is now going to really show his intimacy to Moses tonight. And he's not only going to show his intimacy to Moses, he's going to tell Moses about the intimacy yet to come. Moses, I want to be close to you. I want to be intimate with you. I want a personal relationship. I want you to hear my voice. I want to hear yours. And Moses really had it. I mean, Moses was one of these guys the Bible says knew the Lord face to face. You ever felt the Lord so close? It's like he's right there. You know, we all go through seasons where we're really close, and then we go through seasons where we feel farther away, okay? So if you're in a season that you feel farther away, and I talk about being close or this kind of thing, hey, we all go through different seasons in our life. That's part of our walk with the Lord. And you guys, if you've ever had that true intimacy with the Lord, you know what I'm talking about when it's like face to face. He's right there. And it's so sweet. It's more than just powerful. It's sweet. And there's nothing you would trade for it in the whole wide world. This is what Moses is about to learn. See, Moses is still looking at God at this point as the Almighty. And that he is. Is God the Almighty? Yes. Moses knows him as the Almighty. That's how he knows him. El Shaddai. The Almighty, the Creator. He knows him as El Shaddai. But he doesn't know him yet as Yahweh, which is the personal God. The I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. And Jesus introduced himself to Moses that way in the burning bush. But Moses had not yet truly experienced the Lord in regular intimacy that way. And so God is going to tell Moses tonight, you're going to know me in a way that even Abraham and Jacob and Isaac didn't know me. They knew me. But you're going to know me in a deeper way than they didn't know. And there's this whole picture of God when he reveals himself to man. We started out knowing God in the most intimate sense with Adam and Eve. You couldn't know God any more intimately because we were really almost in heaven with him. There was no sin. There were eternal beings when they were created. There was a total connection to God. Sin came. There was that break. And ever since then, it's been, oh, now we're running from God. And now rather than this intimate personal relationship, mankind really is like, there's this God out there and he's almighty and he might judge me. And I know he's there and I know that whatever this. And then God has to basically draw us back in and reintroduce himself. And so he starts out with reaching out to mankind and begins to give us the story through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all that. And God reveals himself as the Almighty God. Yes, there was a personal relationship there. And God even revealed himself and said to them that he was Yahweh. So if you go back in Genesis, you'll see that God said he was Yahweh. Although he says here, you're going to know me as Yahweh. And they didn't. So God told them who he was, but God didn't reveal to them the Yahwehness. Yahweh really means, again, I am that I am. It's also the word Jehovah. And it's that intimacy. It's what we know now as believers. When we give our life to the Lord, that closeness, like, wow, I know him and he knows me. This is Yahweh. This is Jehovah. This is that intimate relationship. They didn't have the privilege of this back then. Remember that. The Holy Spirit did not come to live within the believers back then. He came upon them. He was with them. Remember the three workings of the Holy Spirit we see in Scripture. With, upon, and in. All they could get back then was with and upon. That is with them and then power to serve him. We now have all three. He's with us. He comes upon us to give us power, but he is also what? In us. And when did that happen? At the cross. So God is now going to do something for Moses that very few believers ever got until 2,000 years ago, until our world generation, the last 2,000 years. Now we have that openness for that intimacy with the Lord. Nobody had that. And so God is going to introduce himself to Moses tonight this way. And by the way, Moses needed this because the last time we left Moses off, and I hated to leave him that way for a whole week, but we left him in despair. He was really down. Moses was bummed because God had given Moses the call. These miracles had happened. He'd seen God Almighty. He didn't know him yet really as Yahweh, that intimate God, but he saw him as Almighty and knew that he was the God of his fathers. God had called him, spoken to him, sent him down there. He obeyed. He went and did what God told him to do. He went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. And said, Pharaoh, who's the Lord? Get out of my face, basically. I'm the Lord here. You leave. And then all the people, remember, not only did Pharaoh get mad at him, they got mad at him because they turned up all the heat on him, made him work harder as slaves. So everybody hated Moses, you know. Pharaoh was hating him. All the people, I mean, look at it this way. He was the new pastor called to town. And not only does the mayor of the town hate him, the whole church that he's the pastor, they hate him. The city hates Moses. And Moses is standing there going, I just did what you asked me to do. Why does everybody hate me? God, where are you? Ever since I've come, it's only gotten worse. And that's where we're going to take up tonight. And guys, I want you to know this. Often when God calls us to do something, things will get worse before they get better. That's how the enemy works. Why? Because when you step out for the Lord, the enemy comes in to tear down and destroy and discourage. Don't be in despair about it. Realize that this is how the enemy works. And if you can make it beyond that, then God's going to do a great work. God's going to use you. And so whenever we step out, Satan will always be there to challenge us. And you know, is this really God? Or, you know, can you be sure that God's called you to do this? And then there'll always be the demonic realm and people that oppose the gospel that'll throw their 2 cents worth trying to discourage you. And so Moses here is not in a good place. Things are getting worse and it's gone from bad to worse. This is often how it happens with us. It doesn't always happen good immediately. It doesn't stay bad. That's the good thing. But that's part of the spiritual battle. So now I'm going to tell some of you this. You're going to mentally get this in your brain, but you're not going to really get it until you do it. Here's how I know that. I've done it. I was prepared mentally. Yes, when I step out, there's going to be a lot of opposition and the enemy's going to try to discourage me and get me to quit and all that, whatever. And even still knowing that when it happened, you know what I wanted to do? quit. Even though I knew it, I said, I know what's going on. I recognize this, but I still want to quit. And because it's just not easy to do. Again, this is where we take up with Moses tonight. You know, he's on the right track. God's going to encourage him. He's on the right track, but he's very discouraged. Again, Pharaoh's hating him. His own church is hating him, so to speak, the people he's gone back to. And the reason I say that is because this is going to really be a model of the church in the scripture. God uses Moses and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt as a model for the church. And so we'll see that whole picture once we get into it more. But notice in verse 22 there of chapter 5, it says, so Moses returned to the Lord and he said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? And why is it that you sent me? What am I doing here? I mean, didn't I step out for you? Why is this so ugly? Why is it so hard? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to the people, and neither have you delivered your people at all. I mean, it's gotten worse. You sent me, you told me you're going to do these things, and it's only gotten worse. I love this answer God gives him. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now, and I have that underlined, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. You see, there's God's perfect timing. Moses thought God's timing was 40 years earlier. Stepped out in faith. And by the way, did Moses, you guys know this, I know you've already been here, if you've been with us in the study in Exodus, but did Moses really hear God's call to do what he was doing? Even 40 years earlier, did Moses hear the call of God? Yes. That was God's call. The problem was it wasn't God's timing. So Moses stepped out in faith, and what happened? He fell flat on his face. And I wonder if Moses didn't start thinking some of the things. You're like, you know, God, you know, did I miss it? Am I totally wrong? Was this not your voice that said this to me? And maybe, you know, maybe Moses had that feeling of, you know, I'm stepping out in faith and you've let me fall. And it'd be like the kid that he's standing there on the side and dad's in there in the water, you know. And dad's not saying jump, but in the kid's mind, he's hearing jump. I'll catch you, jump. And you've seen other people jump and you saw the father catch them. So you jump and the father's not ready for you to jump. And what happens? Kaboom. And you find yourself struggling not to drown. And God in his grace grabs you by the scruff, kind of like Peter when he went under, pulls you out of the water, sets you up on the side of the pool. Lord, I stepped out in faith and it was a total failure. What happened? It's not a failure. I told you to do it, just not yet. Wait till I say, come to daddy. How about that? Just learn to hear my voice and wait till I say, jump. And when I say jump, then jump. Moses saw daddy. He jumped. It was the right thing at the wrong time. And now Moses has been brought back by God 40 years later, restored after all this stuff happened. He goes and does what the Lord tells him to do. And once again, what does it look like? He's jumped and the father didn't catch him. Back up on the side. Right? No, you're okay this time, Moses. This time it's really time. But I had to have you go do that first. I had to let Pharaoh see what I was going to do. I had to let the children of Israel see what I was going to do. He says, now you're going to see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let him go. And with a strong hand, he will drive him out. Now, I've underlined three words in that verse, strong, and drive. This is what God is going to do. God is, and this, you know, I think about this. All right, he says, you're worried about if I'm going to help you and if I've sent you. You watch now what I'm going to do. Wouldn't this be great to hear? Think about Moses. He'd be like, all right, Lord, you said you were going to, and now I'm hearing your voice again. And God says, with a strong hand, he says, he will let them go. With a strong hand, he will drive them out. That is, not only is God going to do it, but he's going to do it in a strong and undeniable way. Everyone that sees this, Moses, will know it's my hand. Isn't that great? I love it. And so, and God sometimes does that. Sometimes what God will do is God will let us step out in faith and fail. And why does God do that? Because he wants us, first of all, not to rely on ourselves. And number two, when it does work, when God's time is there, then who gets the glory? What if you got a charismatic leader, or say you're a charismatic person yourself, and you get things done, you're a can-do guy or a can-do girl, and you're always getting things done. Well, then when it comes time for God to get the glory, who's going to get the glory? You are. And they're going to say, boy, that guy can really, he is really something, man. He can, I mean, whoa, whew. Or that girl, nobody like her. I mean, I'll tell you what else. You know, she can really this and that. No. God gets right. See, this is what I love about the Tim Tebow thing going on right now. Don't you love that? Because really, he's very mature. You know, you think about him. He's young. How old is Tim Tebow? 23 years old or something? 24? This guy was raised, though, knowing the Lord in the mission field since he was little. So he's really like 24 years in Christ. Think about that. He's a 24-year-old who's 24 years in Christ. And probably first year or two, he didn't get much out of first year anyway. So maybe 23 years in Christ. But what I love about it, it's just who he is. He's not a guy trying to make a stand. You know, I think it's good when we as Christians, when we try to make a stand, that is commendable and we should do it, right? We should. But have you seen the difference between a believer who's maybe younger in the Lord and they're trying to make a stand and a person who just is? Tebow just is. He's not trying to make a stand and say the name of Jesus each time the mic's in front of him so he can be a good witness. That's just who he is. He's not trying to be anybody. This is who he's been since he was little. He's still that way, and Satan hates it. See this shocking the nation and the world or whatever, and Satan hates it, which means you can be sure there's going to be some major attack coming his way really soon. Absolutely. It's already, he's getting hit on it. But what's good about this is that because he's not in all of his interviews talking about, you know, himself and all the hard work he's done and how he's really this, who's getting the glory? When they talk about Tim Tebow, they're saying, you know, maybe there is something to this divine stuff. You heard that on the news? Maybe there really is something to this God. Maybe this is supernatural. Why are they saying that? They're not saying that Tim Tebow is supernatural. They're saying there's a God behind him. Why? Because it's simply a life reflecting God. And that's how it's supposed to be. And I think sometimes God will allow us, if we aren't able to do that yet, God will allow us to fail. And I wasn't able to do that. I don't know that I still am able to do that. But I know that God's let me fail so much, I'm thinking, Lord, at some point, you know, at some point I'm bound to get it and something, you're about to, you know, maybe do something. You know, there's certain scriptures I read, and you know, the Bible says that if you faint, you know, when times are hard, your strength is weak. And I'm thinking, okay, now what? You know, that's, you just told me what's going on, but now what? You know, what's the answer to that? And of course, we know, run to the Lord and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says that, you know, before honor comes humility, and you begin to think, well, how many years of humility does it take? You know, I'm 48 now, and so, you know, when does that honor thing begin? And maybe some of you are in the same place. Listen, God's only going to use me in what I can handle. I remember hearing Pastor Chuck say one time, he said, you know, there's not many men that are used in great ways, you know, really in big ways, because they can't handle it. The moment God begins to make a worldwide ministry, now a lot of guys try to put that up there, you know, we are the Church of the International Outreach Ministry or whatever. They put the big international. And a lot of times when you see that, that tells a lot of the motive of the heart. You know, if you're an international ministry, you typically don't have to tell people. You just are. And you're reaching the world because you reach them. You don't have to put that in your name. I want to be careful on that. I'm not saying that means something's wrong. The point is, you know, the way that God works with us is, what can we handle? And if he says, all right, Mark, that's all you can handle, because you're just going to just really be puffed up and I can't use you any more than that. So if I can use you here, so I'm going to use you that much. I'm like, all right, Lord, then do what you have to do to get me where I'm not puffed up. Do what you have to do where I can be humble, and do what you have to do so you can use me, you know, more. That's really my prayer to the Lord, is God, do what you have to do in my life to get me to you to be used more. And I'm starting not to like that prayer, because it seemed easier before I started praying that. So I don't, you know, God uses us where he can use them. And so, you know, God here is saying Moses is now in a place he can be used. He spent 40 years, the backside of the desert with this small little flock, just a few little sheep, you know. Lord, is the church ever going to grow? Lord, I mean, I've been back here 40 years. You know, I'm 80 now. And probably by the time he hit about 70, he's probably thinking, you know, 70, I don't even care if the church grows now. And then by the time God got to Moses, what did Moses say? And God said, Moses, go, I'm going to give you a huge church, over 2 million people, you know. Because now you're humble, you're ready, you can handle it without getting weird on me. So you're ready, and I'm going to use you in big ways, and I've trained you, I've done all these things, and you're like, whatever. Then what did Moses say? Send somebody else, you know. I think what's really ironic is by the time God gets us to the place to where he can really use us, oftentimes, you know, we don't want to be used. And that really reveals the heart, doesn't it? Because maybe there's a little bit of glory seeking in there. Maybe there's a little bit of, I want to be important. I want to be the important pastor. Biggest church in town. They're really growing down there at Calvary Chapel. God says, until that's gone, I can't do anything with you. It stinks. It's putrid to me in heaven. So just love me. Teach the word, Moses. Take care of the few sheep I've given you in the backside of the desert. And if and when you're ever ready, and if and when I decide to do it, I'm the Lord, it's my church, I'll do something more. Your job is to man your post. Man your, I'll never forget that. There was a time when I was thinking, Lord, you know, every pastor goes through this. If they don't tell you the truth, they're lying. But every pastor goes through that desire. I just want to, this is it, I'm done. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to, you know, whatever, you know, move to the mountains and just, you know, hide, grow a beard and walk with bears everywhere or something. You know? And I remember going through one of those kind of pouty times, and God spoke to me so loud. He said, man your post. Man your post. All he said, I heard it. It's like it broke through all the, it just broke through the noise. And I don't even think that way. I'm not a military guy. I don't think man your post. When would I ever say that? I don't say that. But I heard it's clear as day, man your post. And I was like, I remember almost thinking, I may have even said out loud, Lord, was that you? And again, I heard, man your post. And I knew at that moment, I get it. I get it. Regardless of what's going on, be faithful where I am and let him take care of the results. See, this is what God's doing in Moses. This is what God's done in me and in doing in me. This is what God will do in you guys. We're all the same. There's no difference in us in this room. We all go through the same things, the same temptations, the same struggles. We all do. Some of us are at different places in our maturity. And so we deal with it where we are. Moses is now at a place where God is saying, all right, I can use you. And I'm going to, with a strong hand, you know, I'm going to get you out of there. Moses, by the time I'm done with Pharaoh, he'll drive you out. He's going to say, get out of Egypt. You're worried about me moving on your behalf. When I'm done, they'll be pushing you out. You know, they're going to be behind you. Go. And this is exactly what happens when we get to the 10th plague and he kills the firstborn. Pharaoh's saying, go. Get out of here, you know, and pray for me. You know, that's amazing. Instead of, you know, I hate your guts, he's like, pray for me too. He recognized God in his life, you know. The word drive here, when he says drive him out, it means to cast up, to drive out, to drive away, to expel, to put away, to thrust out, or to trouble. And that perfectly describes Pharaoh's attitude toward them by the time this is all done. He says, I'm going to drive him out, Moses. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I love this. Guys, if you didn't know what this word was, you just read it, you'd miss this. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. You can't do it your way anymore. You have to do it Yahweh. Now that's corny. But you'll never forget that. You'll probably wish you could. Yahweh. He says, Moses, you're worried about all this stuff. I'm about to introduce myself to you in a personal way. You know, it's funny. It seems like before I met the Lord in a really intimate way, I was always uptight about God. You know, what's he thinking? Does he hate me? Is he going to do something? Am I in trouble? And then once you meet him, there's a peace that comes over you. You ever been around certain people that you're just really close to? I mean, they are typically your husband or your wife, maybe even another friend that's outside of that. And when you're with them, you can just totally relax. I mean, you can just really just kind of, I'm safe here. I'm protected. This is a safe place. I really like this. That's what it's like to have that intimacy with the Lord. Because you don't have to perform. You don't have to be important or the big wig. You just are, and he is, and he loves you, and you love him, and life is sweet. There's a rest. There's a peace. That's what Yahweh's all about. This is our God, guys. He's an intimate God. He wants to know us in a personal, sweet way. He wants that sweetness, the intimacy. Relax. But I'm not doing good. Well, who cares? It's up to him how you do. He's the one that gave you any abilities or talents you have. He's the one that will anoint them or use them. And if he doesn't, he's the Lord. Is it not enough that you're saved? Is it not enough that I'm saved? I always come back to this. I'm saved. If nothing else happens, I'm good. I'm Yahweh. I love it. Seems like an obvious statement, but how powerful. After hearing Pharaoh's rejection of what Moses had to say and seeing the anger of the people, this would be awesome to Moses. Because he'd be like, you know what, Lord? Maybe I'll just head back up toward the backside of the desert. Things were easier back there. Now I come down here, I answer your call, and I thought that everybody loved me and all the doors would open and everything would be easy. It's the exact opposite. They hate my guts and everything's closing. When are you going to move, God? What's going on? And all the questions. Did I hear the call right? Am I really where you want me to be? Some of you guys have been through that. This is where Moses is. And God just says to him, you know what? I'm Yahweh. I'm Jehovah. You know, and again, it's so encouraging when you understand. This is that tetragrammaton. You guys hear the term tetragrammaton, you know, YHWH, that we don't really know all the vowels that were in God's name. The Jews didn't write them down. The priests considered God's name too holy to write. So we've lost over the years what his name really was. And so they just put down YHWH. They kept those, you know, consonants in there so you would kind of have an idea of an outline of his name. But they didn't want anybody to really say his name. So probably Yahweh, who knows, that's probably not even really his name. But it means the I am who I am. And it deals with him being a personal God. And again, this is so important to Moses because no doubt at this moment, Moses felt very alone and abandoned in his call of God. And God just told him, he said, guess what, Moses? Everybody else is going to leave you behind, but I'm your best friend now. Guys, remember when you first came to the Lord? I don't know what it was like for you. I know every experience is different, but I remember when I first came to the Lord, my life was so messed up and just the world. And it was so sweet being forgiven and having the burden lifted and having the Lord just be in the room in power and that intimacy and the sweetness and him and I just singing songs and talking and being together. Don't take me wrong when I say this, but I didn't care if I had another friend in the world. I realized at that moment, if you are the only one I have, I'm good. I will never be lonely. I don't need anything else. I'm good. Now, God knew that I needed, obviously, a wife and friends and fellowship. And so God's going to do all that. That's not the point. But when you truly have that intimacy with the Lord, you can feel like I'm going to be okay, even if it's only me. And God is now giving this to Moses, because at this point, it was only Moses. Well, Aaron. And Aaron's probably starting to, you know, doubt. You know, the assistant pastor's going, hey, man, you said you heard from God and the whole burning bush thing, but so far it's a big disaster. You know, when does this program kick in? You know, so Moses is going, God, where are you, God? And all of a sudden God says, I'm Jehovah. I'm your intimate friend, and I'm going to be closer to you than anybody. And if you've got me, you don't need anybody else. If the whole world abandons you, if your wife leaves you, if your children are all gone, if everybody hates your guts, if your own family rejects you, as long as you've got Yahweh, you'll be okay. That's our God. That is encouraging, because there are times in our life when we feel that way. And maybe for some of you, you really have had those times in your life. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. The intimacy. And I remember just thinking, Lord, you know, I could just live this way forever. And I remember thinking, if I could just take all the unbelievers and just give them 2 seconds of this right now, everybody gets saved. I remember thinking that. If I could just right now, what I'm experiencing. And you know, when I first came to the Lord, God really poured out His Spirit on me. And I think I know why. It wasn't a matter of, oh, Mark special, pour out God's Spirit. I don't mean that like I had some special anointing. I didn't. What I mean is I came out of a world where I was looking for the world to kind of thrill me. Ever been there? Some of you have. Some of you hadn't. I believe God did that when I came to Him to show me is the world's thrills have nothing compared to what my Spirit can do in your life. The world's thrills cannot fulfill you the way that I can. And He totally just overwhelmed me. And I remember thinking, God, if you just did this, if you could just look for a second, you know, I wish you had that ability, you know, just let people just for a second walk into your little realm, your little world when God's doing that in your life. How could they ever leave? And yet the truth of the matter is, depending on where their heart is, they'd either stay or go, or they may not stay. Look at Saul. Remember Saul when he's trying to kill David? And they're all up there. The prophets are together and God's Spirit is heavy upon them and they're falling before the Lord. And the Spirit is so heavy where they are. Every person that comes in, He keeps sending these guys to arrest, you know, go up there and arrest David. He's up there, you know, and we know where he is. He's with Samuel and go arrest him. They go up there to arrest him and they walk into the place where all these prophets are. And all of a sudden the Spirit comes upon him and all these cops begin to fall down and worship. So He sends another set of cops up. Or we would say guards. The guards go up there. What happens? They fall down and begin to worship. Finally, Saul says, this is ridiculous. Every time I send somebody into that church to go get this guy, they all fall down and start worshiping God. I'm going myself. I know I won't do that. What happened? He went in there. He falls down and starts worshiping God because the power of God, the glory is so great in that room. And while he's worshiping God, David sneaks off. I can imagine David saying, oh, there's Saul, just kind of getting in the back, getting mixed in with the choir, hide behind a robe or whatever. And all of a sudden, boom, whoa. And so he's like, see, guys, I'm out of here. And he sneaks out the back door and he's gone because he knows Saul wants to kill him. And so, you know, you would think that happened to Saul. Saul's going to repent. Everything's going to be great, right? No, as soon as Saul left the presence of the Lord like that, he went right back to the way he was. And so probably I think for the first time in my life, I have the answer from God. He's thinking, God, why wouldn't you just do that for a second for everybody? I used to wonder that. I think God just gave me the answer while I'm sharing it with you. And that happens a lot, actually. You know, a lot of times don't understand this stuff till you guys do. But I truly believe it's because, you know what? What God is saying and even showing me right now is that it doesn't matter how powerful the Spirit is in someone's life at that moment. If their heart's wrong, they're going to go right back to the way they were when they walk out of that umbrella of God's Spirit. So it all hinges on the heart and where the heart is. This intimacy, I love it. You see, all the Jews before Moses, again, Moses is now stepping into this new level of intimacy. And it's interesting because when we talk about the intimacy of God, this Yahwehness, the personalness of God, you have to understand this is not how the gods of that day were. The gods of Egypt, none of them were personal. And by the way, do you realize today, pick any religion, ready? Just spin the wheel, pick a religion. None of them have a personal God. Did you realize that? There's only one religion, if we want to call it that has a personal God. Guess what it is? Christianity. None of those are personal. When you go and try to worship, they can't really get to know the person they're supposedly worshiping. And the reason being is they're not real. You can't get to know something that's not real. You know, I think a good example of this, and this is, you know, you guys know that Islam is kind of on the rise in America, so it's a great one to give an example of this. But it's interesting when you look at Islam, for example, even today, Allah today, if you ask them, what is the name or how do you know Allah? First of all, they say He doesn't have a name. Not that we can know. And number two, they call Him, here's what they call Allah, the great unknowable. How sad would it be if your God was what? The great unknowable. Aren't you glad that our God is Yahweh, the great knowable, the great intimate God, the great personal God who has that relationship. And I think, man, Allah is exactly the opposite of our God and who Moses claims to be. But I mentioned that one God, they're all that way. Pick a God, your Buddha is, you know, whatever Buddha is, you know. And you all these other ones that you have, you can't even the New Age movement, right? They want to become one with the universe. Even that's not personal or intimate. You can't meet the universe. There's no conversation that goes on. And so our God offers intimacy and personal relations not like the other religions where there's nothing there. You can't be personal with him. And again, this is interesting because, guys, I think that there's also a way that believers can know God in different levels, and many don't know him as Yahweh. I believe you can be saved and not really have that Yahweh relationship with God on a regular basis. Now, what do I mean by that? Yeah, you're saved. Yes, he now lives in you. Yes, there's some degree of personal relationship, something going on there. But if you're just living your own life like the fleshly Corinthians, they were fleshly. They were living according to the flesh. They didn't have that intimacy. And there may be some of us tonight that we have God as the Almighty. But are we really experiencing, it's available, but are we experiencing the Yahwehness of our God? Is he your sweet God? Do you sit and just be quiet with him and you love each other? And you can't wait to sit down with him and just get in the word and say, Lord, show me, say something to me, you know? Talk to me. And again, we all have the dry times. I know that. Doesn't mean you're not right with God if it's a dry time. But dry times come and they go. That's part of our growth process. But when you sit and just have that time with the Lord, it's sweet. Have you ever had that? Do you have that on a regular basis? When you pray, is it just going through the motions? Okay, I got to pray this long because I want to be righteous. Go. All right. Lord, and you start down your list. Boom, 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 boom. Amen. Or is it just kind of getting with him and saying, Lord, I just want to be with you. You know, we have the men's prayer Tuesday morning, 6:30, you know, every Tuesday morning. And in men's prayer, oftentimes we will have things we want to pray for because that's why we're gathering. The Lord says, put your concerns before the Lord, make them known so that you can do. And we pray for people, we pray for things and all that. But sometimes we just go in there and I'll just feel really impressed in my heart. You know what? No list today. No list. Let's just love him. Let's love him. Let him love us. And we have some of the sweetest prayer times. It's like God begins, you just feel him kind of taking over. Lord, what do you want this? What do you want us to pray about? You just take it. You lead us in whatever you want to pray on, and we're going to go. And you feel the Spirit moving in the room, and it's this beautiful thing that the Lord just weaves together. And just love him. That's the Yahwehness of our God. See, the El Shaddai, we know he's mighty. Yes, he's mighty. I know that. And I'm glad of that. But if it only stops at God is mighty, then what is that? Where's the realness? You know, what if it's husband and wife? Let's bring this down personal. And we may not finish this chapter. I'm only at verse 2. Man, we'll see. We have more time. We're not out yet. But think about husband and wife. What if it was just husband and wife? You ever see these places called restaurant? You want to go there and eat? Does anybody want to go eat at restaurant? I don't. Now he does. Okay. All right. We got one. All right. But most people don't want to eat at restaurant. You know, unless you're out in the middle of nowhere and that's it. It's got that neon sign. You know, you're traveling and that's it. I'll eat a restaurant, you know, whatever they've got, you know. But other than that, you want to go to like Giuseppe's, you know. You want something that sounds like, hey, there's flair to that. There's a, you know, the something something in blackened grill. I'll go there, but restaurant? That's what it's like when you talk about, and I'm not comparing God to saying plain, but I'm trying to give you a picture. When you talk about who God is as Almighty, we know he's Almighty. There's the label, Almighty. We know that. But Yahweh is Giuseppe's, you see. Yahweh is the, you know, the whatever, you know, steakhouse and blackened grill, you know. That's Yahweh. You got it? And this is what Moses is about to find out. He's known that he's God Almighty. He knows he created. But it's like, no, I don't want to leave it there. Yes, I'm Almighty, but I want you to be, let's have intimacy. Let's be close. And so, you know, it's interesting. And yeah, you have to be careful with this. If somebody, you know, is praying and you're praying with them for the first time and they pray, God, you are mighty and you're holy. Those are all good prayers to talk about God's mightiness and force. But if you pray with somebody on a regular basis and all their prayers are always, you're the God of creation, you're the God of the universe, you're the God with all power, you're the God of this. And there's never just, Lord, how I need you today. They probably only know him as El Shaddai, but they don't yet know him as Yahweh. See, Yahweh is, Father, I need you right now. I know you're mighty, but I need you right now. You've got to encourage me right now. I need your intimacy. I'm down. I'm beaten. And unless you touch me right now, Lord, I'm not going to make it. And he comes in and goes, I'm going to touch you and I'll strengthen the weak. See, that's Yahweh. That's the difference. And so what Moses needs to learn and what we need to learn is Yahweh, the intimacy, not just the whole Almighty and all that. And all that's good, but we need more than that. He tells him, that's who I am. And now he explains it. Look at verse 3. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, or El Shaddai. He says, that's how I revealed myself to them. But by my name, and your Bible probably says Lord, and by the way, when you see Lord and it has four capital letters, that will always be the editor letting you know that really in the Hebrew it is Yahweh, or the Tetragrammaton. That's if one letter's capitalized, it's not. It'll be some other form of his name. But when all four letters are capitalized, it is Yahweh or Jehovah. He said, they knew me as God Almighty, but by my name, Yahweh, I was not known to them. Now, were they true believers? Yes, of course they were. Abraham, come on, he was a friend of God. Isaac, Jacob, come on, these guys knew God. But they didn't know him in that intimate way that Moses is about to meet him and that we get to know him because of his spirit living within us. They didn't know him as Yahweh. And God is saying, I'm going to do something special for you, Moses, even before the cross, before you can have the spirit living inside of you, before the privilege of all the church thousands of years later, I'm going to let you know me that way. You're going to know me as Yahweh. They didn't get to experience that, Moses. What do you think about that? Wow. And I was all down, and I was grumbling and complaining, and God, you called me here, and God, you're not doing anything, and Lord, and this and that. Hey, be quiet. I'm going to let you know me in an intimate way, like even your forefathers didn't know me. Really? Yeah. You know, if I can know you that way, Lord, I don't really care if I have the church of 2 million or not. I don't really care whether or not I'm known or whether or not the ministry looks successful from the outside. You know what? They can have it. Just give me Jesus. Let me have you. And if I can have you, that's all I need. See, Moses needed this.
Everybody hates me, God. Nobody's my friend. Where are the people that love me?
I do. I love you. And I'm all you need. I'm Yahweh. And we're going to be close. And we're going to be intimate. And we're going to be friends. And we're going to spend time in the Word together and time in prayer together. And I'm going to show you things that are going to blow your mind, Moses. And then not only that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw El Shaddai on top of it. You're going to see the ocean split open. You're going to see plagues. You're going to eat Yahweh and El Shaddai. You get the full package, Mo. I love it. And so exciting for Moses. You know, my heart is excited for him because, again, to think about this and think, you know what? This is what he needed. He needed a father. He needed Lord. He needed sweet Jesus. And, you know, okay, Mark, how do I let God do this? You know, right now I know God is El Shaddai, but I don't know that I've ever known him as Yahweh. How do I do that? You know, if you know the Lord, you're saved. But how do you do that? Listen, I believe, first of all, you've got to get to know him for real. If you don't know him, you can't know him as mighty God or as Yahweh. But you have to turn from your sin. The people that you see that are close to the Lord are those that really repent. They really do. They say, God, all right, here I am, examining my life. Is there something I'm watching, something I'm reading, something I'm doing that doesn't please you? Show me. And then God shows you, and you go, whoa. But I like that. Well, do you want Yahweh or my way? Sorry, I'll get off that dumb thing. But do you want Yahweh? Is that what you want? Yes, Lord. You think that if you give something up, I'm not going to give you something way better? I remember when God was drawing me in, there was this whole battle going on. Man, if you give your life to the Lord, you know, you're not going to be able to do this or that or that. And that's pretty fun. And that's fun too. And so, man, it's like I give my life to the Lord. And see, I didn't know him yet. I knew I'd heard of El Shaddai. I'd heard of the mighty, but I certainly never met El Shaddai, nor did I certainly hadn't met Yahweh. And so I remember thinking that, and I remember when I came to know him and God began to strip me of all that stuff that was sin that I used to think was fun, and he replaced it with himself, and I was like, I can't believe I used to think that was good. I used to like that, and now I've got this. You see, the thing is, here's kind of the trick when it comes to being a Christian. You don't know how good it is till you get on the other side of it. And what Satan does is Satan says, oh, you have to give everything up. You've got to do this. I'm like, you're not giving anything up. I mean, what are you giving up? Well, I'm giving up throwing up, feeling bad. I have to give up hell. I mean, come on, this is a big list here. And we don't, you know, Satan blinds us. And we think somehow we're giving something up. He says, just come taste and see that the Lord is good. Guys, we've done that, haven't we? He's good. How many people want to go back? I'm not raising my hand. Once you taste the Lord, what does the world have to offer you? Zero. And yet when you're in the world, you're going for all the world you can get, right? And if you're never going to come to Christ, then you might as well get all the world you can get, because that's all you're going to get. But once you know the Lord, boy, the well is deeper than you can ever get to the bottom to. And you drink and you drink and you enjoy. And yes, you go through different seasons and different times and times where it's like the Spirit seems like it's just all over the place. And times you're wondering, God, you know, what's happened, you know? Have I, you know, wandered to the wrong side of heaven? The door's closed on this end, and over there is where the, you know, what's going on? You have to say, Lord, I want to walk in holiness. If I'm going to be intimate with you, you know, God cannot continue to be close. The closer we make ourselves to the Lord, or the closer we allow God to clean up our lives, the closer we can be to him. Now, again, we know we can't be perfect. We know that. But if you want to walk in that intimacy with God, you've got to walk in pureness before the Lord. It's just how it goes. The two go hand in hand, and the people that do that, they enjoy that. Notice he says, I've established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. Oh boy, in one way I want to go on, one way I don't. I think I'll stop here. We'll stop a little bit early because I want to take just a moment to really seek Yahweh. You know, some of you, you're saying, okay, I don't know that. I want to know him in that intimate way. Let me know him in that intimate way. Well, let's do that. Let's just take a moment, get quiet before the Lord, and let's ask God to really reveal himself to us and then to show us in our heart, well, Lord, what do we need to do to be able to walk close with you like that? What is it that we need to do? And again, it doesn't mean that you have to become a nun or live in a monastery somewhere or wear robes or certain kinds of clothes. It all comes down to the heart. What did the Lord say? Circumcise your heart, cleanse your heart, cut away the flesh. And let's let God examine us to say, all right, what is it, God, that's keeping me from having that intimacy? Because I want it. And ask God to give us that intimacy that he gave, you know, to Moses. Mike, if you want to come on up while we're praying and maybe just play something soft in the background, I want to just take a moment just to pray. And let's just pray and seek the Lord, guys. Let's do it. Father, I thank you for the fact that you are Yahweh. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you're El Shaddai, that you're the mighty God. Because if you weren't the mighty God, then we wouldn't be serving a mighty God. And Lord, we would be like every other, you know, religion with no real power to our lives. But you are El Shaddai. And God, we thank you for that. And we want to know you as El Shaddai. But God, my heart for this body tonight is that we might know you as Yahweh. We want to know you, Lord, in that intimate way, that personal way, the am that I am, the existing one, the self-sufficient one, or the one that just is everything we need. And God, I, you know, there's probably some right now in the room that are feeling alone or lonely. Maybe some that are, you know, wondering whether or not you're still there, if you love them. And I don't know the different, you know, trials that each person is going through in the room, but I know this, with you, that's all we need. If we have you, Lord, we have everything we need. And so I just pray, Lord, for any right now that have never really had that, maybe that Yahweh intimacy with you, for whatever the reason, maybe there's some sin, maybe there's things they didn't want to let go of. I pray you begin to search hearts right now. And guys, begin to search your heart. Ask God to search your heart and ask him to show you, is there anything, Lord, in my life that's grieving your Holy Spirit? Because I'll tell you this, if you're grieving the Spirit of God, you'll never know him by the name Yahweh in fullness. You'll know him. You're going to be saved. But if there's something you're not dealing with, you're never going to know him in that intimacy of Yahweh. So, God, begin to search hearts in this room right now. God, begin to search my heart. Begin to search all of our hearts. And show us, Lord, what is it? We want to be pure, Lord. We want to walk holy before you. And more than that, God, we want to know you. God, fill this place with your Spirit. Fill this place with your holiness. Fill this place with you. And God, reveal yourself to us. Show us Yahweh tonight. Take us, Lord, into that place that of intimacy and closeness. Let's just, you know, take a second here, you know, while Mike is just strumming there and playing, and just begin to pour your heart out to the Lord. Tell him you want to know him as Yahweh. Let him know you want to know him in an intimate way. If you don't have that, if you do, you want to be closer. This can't be close enough. And if there's anything you need to confess, begin to confess it and get it right. Let's just do that right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, search our hearts, Lord. Show us if there be any wicked way in us, Lord. Something that maybe we just kind of accepted as okay for us. But it's something that's grieving your spirit. You're saying, get rid of it. I want to reveal myself to you tonight as Yahweh. And all you've known me as really is El Shaddai, the Mighty One. Because your sin, your life, whatever you're doing, it's keeping you away. Let's lay it down tonight and say, God, take it all. Father, just strip it away. Strip it away, Lord, so that we can know you in that intimacy and that closeness. Lord, reveal yourself. Reveal yourself to this body, to this flock, Lord. And take us to the next level, Lord. We don't want to just be satisfied being saved. We want to know you, Lord, in a way we've never known you before. And I pray not only would you reveal yourself to us tonight as El Shaddai, God, I pray you'd reveal yourself to us as all the other El's, Lord. We want to know every name that you have. We want to know you in every way you're to be known. And so reveal yourself to us, Lord. Father, I ask that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit now. I pray you pour out your Spirit on us tonight as a body. I pray you would strengthen us and refresh us. God, I pray you'd let us know you as Yahweh and in your glory and your power. And God, that we leave this place different than we came in. So Lord, we give you glory for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. You've heard our prayers, Lord. You've heard the prayers of all that have lifted them up tonight. And God, we know that you'll answer. We thank you, Lord God. And Father, I want to pray one last thing before we're done. Lord, if there's any here that have been waiting on you, and they're just waiting and waiting and wondering, Lord, you know, when, Lord? Did I miss you, Lord? Am I on the wrong path, Lord? God, I pray you would just encourage them tonight. Either show them the direction they need to go or encourage them just to wait and to man their post until you do what it is, God, that you're wanting to do. And God, we'll trust you to do that tonight. So we thank you, Lord, and we just give you glory for what you've done tonight, Lord, in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.